What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Cruising along here on a Friday afternoon. Mike Shope is on vacation. We'll be away all of next week as well. I am the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio is live at Highmark Stadium for this evening's return of the blue and red practice. Is it practice, scrimmage? What is it actually called, Sal? It's not called a scrimmage, is it?
It is not. And I know people call it that, and that's fine. I'm kind of a little bit too strict on that myself.
Yep.
Because when I think of scrimmage, I'm like, you're coming to a place to watch like an offense and a defense or two teams battle each other, and there's scoreboard keeping. That's a scrimmage to me.
Right.
Right? Like, that's right. They might have a scrimmage period here, but it is really an open practice. And when you brought up, like, earlier, going back to the days of the Sabres open practices, right? Those were great because they do some scrimmaging. They do a little bit of, you know, against each other. That's not what a scrimmage is. That's not what this is. This is an open practice. Will they go offensive defense live? Yes. They're not going to take each other down to the ground. But it'll be more up thought. It'll be, to me, the best way to describe it is they're going to have a practice like they do at St. John Fisher, but they're going to do it here. They just might have a little bit more of the live stuff, offense against defense, than they normally do.
Yeah. So it is the final year of the stadium, and this is the first event of the final year at the stadium. Say what you will. There's a preseason game next Saturday, but this is the first time in the stadium for the season for a lot of people. And it could be, as I said at the very outset of our show today, Sal, it might be the last time in the stadium for some people that are going, whether it's just maybe they're from out of town and they're here, you know, in the summer visiting and they can't make it to home games or can't afford it, whatever. So I was thinking a lot about the stadium today as we got going. And I know we already talked about and debated a little bit about, you know, the best games and the very top of the list and some memorable moments. But what I wanted to ask you here, if you're okay with it, like, now you said this is season 12 now on the sidelines for you?
Yes, it'll be season 12. Yeah,
so
incredibly.
What are the what do you have, like, in your in your for your own self, like what the moments are for you, because your perspective, I know when we talk during the week, once the season starts, there will be times where there are plays that happen and I'll want to know where you were for it, right? Because like, what was your perspective on, say, the Amari Cooper lateral to Josh Allen last year, I think was one that I talked about. But like for you, what are the top of the heap moments that you've been on the sidelines for?
So there are a few that come to mind right away. And I would tell you that when you think of where I would be for a lot of these, I'm on the Bills sideline, obviously, or I could be in the end zone. Sometimes I'm there, but generally for a play like that, like you just described, Josh Allen, the lateral, that's in the far end of the end zone. That's the far side. That's the Niners sideline. That's the visitor sideline. So I don't have as good a perspective. A lot of times the things that happen are the when I have the perspective of it being kind of right in front of me, right? And that brings into what happened the very first year I was on the sidelines, and a couple of iconic pictures of me looking right at Sammy Watkins' feet as he was toe-tapping 2 feet in front of me for a touchdown against the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
Yeah, to win it, right? That was pretty cool, and you could see me looking right at his feet in that moment. And, of course, that's when the Bills were in a playoff drought, and they weren't as good as they are now. And since then, there's been a lot of great moments with the Bills when they've been really good and, you know, some of the things that have mattered. And I think one of the first ones that comes to mind, believe it or not, is something that I was not on the field for. And that is Taron Johnson's pick six.
I was in the stands.
Right. Because we could not be on the field as part of the COVID protocols. There were, what, 6,500 people in the stands, Bulldog,
something
I think?
Like
something
that.
Like that, right?
Yep.
And I was one of them, and a lot of us in the media, we had to be in the stands in a certain area. But I could roam the stands, but I had to be up in them, and they called it the moat. So I am right near the goal line, but I'm about maybe 10 rows up in the stands watching. He catches that ball, and as he's running out, I'm kind of trailing, and I start running down the aisle, right? Because there's nobody there, because I have this kind of thing to myself. And I've always said this, you know, that you always hear people say about things going in slow motion. You're like, yeah, whatever. It's just kind of a saying. And I will tell you, for the first time in my life, and still only time maybe I remember to think about, it was like things happening in slow motion in my life. I was watching him run while I was watching the stands and the fans and people go crazy up and down. And it was unbelievable. The picturesque scene of that from my spot where I was.
Yeah, that is that almost, listen, it's still, you know, disappointing, sad, whatever, that more people weren't in the stadium for such an incredible moment in such an important game, right? This is the first year of the Bills really arriving as a bona fide contender, right? They'd lost the wild card game the season before in Houston. And so it's just becoming real, right? But I feel like for those who were there and like for you, that it's so different makes it stand out more, probably, like makes it more pronounced. I mean, you're one of the few that were there for it. That's one thing. But this scene you're describing would have never happened in a regular game, right?
No, that's right. That's right. Now, there's been other things that have happened. For example, the fight that happened between Leonard Fournette and Shaq Lawson. I literally got knocked into the wall, like during the fight. And I hit the wall. I'm like, oh my God, get out of here, right? Like things like that happened. Right. One of the crazier, funnier things that ever happened was during the Miami Dolphins game here a few years ago at night. Remember the Saturday night game with the snow and people throwing the snowballs in the field, right? And referee Bill Vinovich wanted the fans to stop. He sees me with a microphone. He thinks I'm the PA announcer for the stadium. So he walks up to me and says, can you announce to these people to stop throwing snow? And I said, sir, I'm not the announcer for the stadium. I'm on the radio right now.
Right.
And he's looking at me and he's looking at my mic like, what are you talking about? You can't talk to these people. You have a microphone in your hand. And I'm like, yeah. And I have a couple great pictures that are still in my phone that I bring up every once in a while to show people of me explaining this to Bill Vinovich, and he has this super confused look on his face.
How in the world have I never... You haven't told me that story before, have you?
I don't think so. There's a lot of crazy stuff.
I hope not, because I forgot it if you did, and that's a great story. I can't believe I would have forgotten that story.
It is amazing. It is one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me, like in my life. I'm like, this NFL referee in this huge game on Saturday Night Football is telling me to please announce to the crowd to stop throwing snowballs. I'm like, sir, I can't do that. that. I have a microphone in my hand. I'm talking to the radio crowd.
He wants you to go Sam. He wants you to go Sam
yes,
Weiss.
Yes,
not from
that's
Cleveland.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly right. So anyway, then the other thing is last year, final game here against the Baltimore Ravens, Mark Andrews drops the pass. Now, when he had it in his hands, I thought, oh, he's got this. For that split second, you thought he's got it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He drops the pass. I am the closest human on the planet to him when he drops the pass. Maybe there's a defender right behind him. I picked up the ball and handed it to the official.
Oh, wow.
I picked up that ball, Bulldog.
Wow.
Wait, I picked up that ball.
Yeah.
It's in my hand, and I'm thinking, holy cow, the Bills just won this game as I'm holding the ball and handing it to the official.
That is something. Did you have any, I know, like, you're a pro, you're on the sidelines, there's no cheering, right? Did you have to make sure to was it just instinct to pick the ball up, or did you have to, like, contain your level of, like, was there a fist pump, even a subtle one, anything at all?
There's always that in some regard. There's always a frustration or a fist pump or something you're doing inside because you're part of the action. You're part of the moment. And anything that happens, right? When it's like there's a big play and it goes for the Bills, a big play against the Bills, you always have this emotion in some way that you always have to contain. You can't show that. You're going to get in trouble. That's not what you're there for. You're there to do the job. But,
right.
I mean, I'm part of it. I'm you know, the adrenaline's pumping. Now, in that moment, that very brief moment of do I pick up the ball always happens because I picked up footballs before. Heck, Bulldog, another one is I literally caught a kickoff from Tyler Bass at the Rams, the opener, because he kicked it out of bounds, and it came to me, and I caught it. Like, I caught it on the sidelines, right? Like, you sometimes the ball just comes to you. You got to pick it up, or you got to do whatever. So in that moment, the ball's sitting at my feet, and for a brief moment, I'm like, do I touch it? And I'm like, yeah, of course, right? It's standing there, and I'm just going to hand it like I would normally. And that's when I picked it up and scooped it up. But it does also get me to not, like, show emotion because I'm kind of just making sure I do that instead of anything else. I do think if you watch the game broadcast, and I don't think I realized I did it, I do think I gave a no good sign, like incomplete sign, very briefly when it happened.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I think that's just kind of natural. A lot of people do that. You're on the sidelines. You see people like, oh, it's good or it's no good because
right.
we all do that at home a little bit. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right. I wonder if Mark Andrews saw you out of the corner of his eye. Just like,
I don't know.
Who's
yeah.
this guy with the headset on? I don't,
yeah.
I don't need you in this moment right now, buddy. Where does – I mentioned this earlier when we were talking about, you know, moments. Again, there's a lot of different ways to frame this conversation about the stadium and these, you know, these games. You're talking about moments, and like moments are different than best games ever, which we covered earlier. I mentioned the Nyheim Hines touchdown,
yes.
the kickoff return, the opening kickoff, and then he did it again to open the second half, which was also incredible, but not as incredible as the opening kickoff of that game, first time back on the field after DeMar Hamlin. That is a scene that I still get emotional thinking about.
Yeah, and when things like that happen, now you're in the moment of it's not the play itself, it's the reaction. And a lot of my job on the sidelines is to get that reaction. I'm watching players. I'm watching coaches. I'm watching interactions with people. And when I turned and saw the emotion there, then the emotion starts pouring out in everybody, right? You see everybody. It kind of becomes contagious in that moment. And then you look at the fans and you see it. And, boy, it was amazing. I will tell you, as much as we talked to circle back to the very first thing you asked about the best moments, and I said I was in this stadium for 51-3. It was a party. The night of the perfect game. To be in this stadium and watch so many fans be so fulfilled, I get choked up thinking about it. Like,
yep.
To watch so many fans behind me, in front of me, beside me, have that moment, it still resonates with me forever.
Yeah, that is good. You know, the morning after that game, I went with Jeremy White from our morning show out to the camper lot to help him pack up because he and his wife, Mal, they have a camper. And so they're a part of that scene out there in the camper lot tailgating. And I went with him that it was a Sunday morning because that game was Saturday night, right? So the Sunday morning to go help him pack up the camper and get it out of there. And like all around, you know, it's a parking lot where there had been, you know, massive parties going on before, and I'm sure probably after the way mm-hmm. that game went, right? There was, I still have the photo somewhere, I'm sure, I know I didn't delete it, my phone might have lost it somehow, because whatever, things get fishy with my phone sometimes, but I think everyone has this problem to some extent. There was a discarded, like a Patriots coffee mug lying in a puddle. right around Jeremy's, right around the trailer, right around the camper site.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it was a bright sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. This Sunday morning, we went out there to do this, and the shadows and it was such a. I'm like, this is perfect. Look at this thing. That was that.
I know. Yeah.
That game was quite a ride.
It was kind of just appropriate, right, for the moment to see something like that.
All right, Sal, we know you got to get down to the field, so we'll let you go here, wrap up this segment, and thanks a lot for jumping in here, and I know we'll talk, you know, into next week as well. But enjoy this tonight, have a great weekend, and thanks for sitting with me for a couple of hours.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
That is our dude, Sal Capaccio. I will go ahead and fit in all of the training camp sponsors, even though this is an actual training camp at St. John Fisher University. But still, our coverage is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We will take a timeout. Be back for more Aaron Quinn Cover One on the Bills coming up at the top of the hour. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Just recently airborne on a Friday afternoon here. I am the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio is with us from Highmark Stadium, where the Bills are having their annual evening practice at Highmark Stadium in front of their fans. So Sal is there getting ready to cover that. He'll be with us until about 5 o'clock. Joining us right now on the Wester Hotline is from, well for now, as my knowledge, is parts unknown, our buddy Sam Paniadovich, Sammy P. from Bet Sweats. You hear him on the Bet 1520 on weekday mornings. here, our sister station in town. And I don't know, Sam, I got a picture from you at about 10:30 this morning from a bar. And then I saw a tweet with like what looked to be a cocktail in a golf cart. So I'm guessing you're having a day.
I've had a couple Josh Allens, so be it. The tequila transfusions, but you know, I'm a professional bulldog. I can still handle a little radio here. By the way, I'm very excited to talk to Sal because he's the only guy that you guys ever toss to that has one name. He's like Sting or Drake or Madonna. It's always tough. Sal's coming up today.
I love it. I love it. Sammy P, man, what's going on? Thanks a lot. I love talking to you too. I'm here inside the radio booth at Highmark Stadium. It is the first event of the final season here in what will be, what, a 52, 53-year-old stadium, whatever the math is now. But holy cow, I mean, it is, it's something special this year. And they're getting it kicked off with this open practice. And then, you know, obviously Bills fans, Sam, really hope that it ends the right way this year, which is winning an AFC championship on the road to a Super Bowl.
Well, let's talk math. I mean, you brought math up. The Bills have the highest win total in the NFL at 12.5, and they're co-favorite to win the Super Bowl. That's where you guys are at. That's sort of where Vegas is on it, at least. I mean, you look at a couple books, and they're 6-1, 6.50, 7-1. They have either the first or second highest power rating in the league, depending on who you ask. Some people say Baltimore. Others say Buffalo. I'm sorry. I don't trust the quarterback in Baltimore. And I also don't understand how they go from this run-it-down-your-throat team in the regular season to, all right, we're going to go 4 wide in the playoffs. I've never understood it. But the Buffalo Bills are co-favored to win the Super Bowl. And those are the expectations, guys.
Well, put it in the bank then.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm curious, from your perspective, obviously we know the Bills have the NFL MVP and Josh Allen. He's terrific. They have a really good roster, coaching staff, front office. But how much of that is also the division they play in and the competition and giving them an opportunity to be in position to be that team?
So I've told Mike and Bulldog this for a year now. They basically have a stranglehold, from my perspective, on the division, a lot like Brady and Belichick used to. Now, obviously, you can't compare the two teams because they're very different in many ways, but the division stinks, you know, in terms of a metric Las Vegas standpoint. And you know, that's why their win total is so high, because they should feast on the Patriots, who are rebuilding, the Dolphins, who are drowning, no pun intended, and then the Jets have Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. So it certainly plays into it. Sal, I don't know if you know, I've been tying Bills' division to basically everything that isn't nailed down.
wow, so yeah, there you go.
If they don't win this division, yeah, like I made a bet yesterday, it was Bills to win the East, and Vikings to win the NFC North. It's 5-1. I think that's a good bet, but I'm trying to parlay Buffalo AFC East with a lot of things. I'd be stunned if they didn't win this division.
Yeah. Sam, speaking of the stadium going into its final year, now I want to get this straight. We know each other pretty well. I know you live now in Boston. Are you native to Chicago, though?
Yes.
Right. So have you gone through any, was it emotional when Comiskey Park was replaced, or was it like a godsend? Like, is there any, because Wrigley is still there, Soldier Field is still there, you're in Boston now, Fenway, obviously, you weren't there when they changed hockey rinks and the Garden went away. Have you been through, like, saying goodbye to a place that meant something to you?
When I was 5, they closed the doors on Chicago Stadium, which is where the Bulls and Blackhawks, wow, you know, played forever. I was a kid, and you know, the Bulls had Jordan, Pippen, and Horace Grant. Blackhawks had Chelios and Roenick. You know, that building went down in, I believe, 1994. Don't quote me on that, but I was a kid. I was only 2 when Comiskey went down, and that new place has never been anything I've been a big fan of. But no, Chicago Stadium, I have vivid memories of being in there, and in fact, I was at the Scottie Pippen charity game when he kissed the court. It was like one of the last things they were ever going to do at the old stadium. And he knelt down and kissed center court. Michael was a Birmingham Baron at the time. But yeah, Chicago Stadium went down when I was 5. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, all right. That definitely works. And that time frame is probably around right. Our new build, the new building here in Buffalo for hockey and basketball, even though we don't have an NBA team, went up in 96 or opened in 96. So like that was it. Like mid 90s was when that really started happening around leagues like that. So
I'm curious, Sam. how much, when I was a kid, they would always say in home field, you give 3 points to the home team in football. Speaking of these new stadiums, a lot of these new stadiums, they don't have home field advantage. I said to Bulldog, I've been to every stadium except for three in the NFL. And the only reason I haven't been to those three was due to COVID the year we didn't travel on the radio broadcast. And I will tell you, there is not a good home field advantage. A lot of times you go to these places, it's corporate partners. It's not that loud. This is a different stadium. The way it's built, the passion of the fans, how much does truly home field matter when it comes to betting these days?
So you're right, Sal. For years, for decades, it was three. Everybody thought it was three. And that changed about 10 years ago. They started dropping it. And it depends on who you ask. A lot of Vegas guys will now tell you it's about 1.6 or 1.8. But, you know, it could change. It could skew. Say Seattle's at home in the snow, or the Patriots are at home in the wind, or we're at Arrowhead, or we're in Buffalo. Like, those places are worth a little bit more. But you're seeing a big-time drop. And, you know, some people would say, well, from 3 to 1.6, that's not a big deal. That's, you're cutting the number in half. I mean, that's a huge deal. So, yeah, home field, for the most part, on average, is about 1.6 to the line.
Yeah. I think, you know, travel being more convenient probably has some part in that too, but the stadiums, I think, are probably, I don't know, maybe it's a, what do you think? Is it a mix of those two things, or is one a bigger influencer than the other, you think?
I think travel, to your point. I mean, these guys are flying private for the most part. They're staying in fancy hotels, and they are the most trained athletes of all time. So I think people have understood that, you know, maybe in the 1970s or 80s, yeah, home field was worth three because guys were sleeping at the Ramada Inn and taking, you know, horrible flights on AWA Airlines or whatever. But or ATA, sorry, not AWA, ATA, you're on vacation. Yeah, it's a lot of that acceleration. But, you know, there were betting groups, like Billy Walters' group forever thought that the home field was overvalued. And those guys made millions and millions of dollars taking small underdogs.
Sam Paniatovich.
By the way.
Oh, go ahead, Sal. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, by the way, I have two of those three things. I travel with the team as part of the radio crew. I am on the nice chartered plane. I am in the fancy hotel, but I do not have the same access to the training for me playing in my flag football league that these guys have, Sam. I just want you to know that.
Okay, I was concerned. Thanks for confirming that.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Well, Sam Paniatovich, co-host with Joe Ostrowski, our friend, who will be back with us during football season for a weekly visit. Sam, kind enough to do this all year round with us here. You hear Bet Sweats 9 to noon Eastern on the Bet 1520 here in Buffalo or on the Odyssey app. Sam, while we're on the NFL, I won't ask you because I know you don't have your regular database in front of you. You're busy with these Josh Allen tequila drinks that I only just found out exist today, by the way, from you. I guess I'm not doing my homework here in Buffalo. If the Cowboys' win total is being affected by Micah Parsons demanding a trade today or asking to be traded, demand might be strong. But not good news for our division winners bet with where the Cowboys were the longest shot to win the division. And now we've got more unrest with Dallas. What do you make of what's going on there?
Well, it's not good for sure. And, you know, if you go back to 2020 and look at defensive pressure rate, the Dallas Cowboys are number one in the NFL. And he's one of the biggest reasons for that, of course, Micah Parsons, who's been a star since he's been in the league. You know, I think we got a good number, though. I mean, we were betting, you know, 7-1, 6-1, and then it cratered to about 5-1, 550. But there's variable change at all times in professional sports. And, you know, that defense will look a whole lot different. And, you know, people will always try and put a number on Micah Parsons. Like, what's he worth? Well, I can tell you this, you know, in their primes, guys like Lawrence Taylor, Deion Sanders, Aaron Donald, those guys are all worth about 3 points of the line. That might not sound like a lot, but it's insanely a lot for one player to be worth that much. And, you know, Parsons is probably in that two range, maybe 2.5. So, it's going to affect them if he actually does get dealt. And, you know, the problem with Dallas, anything Dallas future-wise is buckled into the fact that Philly just won the Super Bowl and Washington went to the frickin' NFC title game. So, it's a tall hill to climb. The win total is either 7.5 or 8.5. If they don't have Micah, I certainly don't like our bet, Bulldog. But, you know, the thing about our bet was you were banking on health from Dak and Micah. And when those guys play, you know, 3 straight years, they go 12-5. When they don't stay on the field, they're bad. And if he's not going to be there, that changes everything. And Dallas, and oh, by the way, Matt Eberflus as a Bears fan, Matt Eberflus stinks on defense. So he's the coordinator on that side of the field and could be really, really messy there if he's actually gone.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of any of this. What about McLaurin with Washington? Is there that's not a meter mover, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, Terry's worth about – I mean, I hate to minimize Terry's impact. He's worth about a point, maybe a point and a half, depending on who you ask. Receivers at their height are worth about two. You know, the books respect Terry, but Terry's not going to affect the win total or the division or conference market. I still, though, man, I look up and I see the Commanders like 10, 12 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, and I would never make that bet. I hate to be hyperbolic on your program, but if you gave me $100 – I would never pick the Commanders 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's never happening for me.
Mm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, what about the other conference? And we're talking about some of these needle movers, right? You have the Trey Hendricks situation going on in Cincinnati, right? And where they are right now. Isaiah Likely, I know he's not a needle mover necessarily, but he's a big part of what they do. Like, what about the other conference? Does it just really come down to Mahomes and Allen as long as they're healthy? Or, you know, how do you see some of the other teams, their big players, and what they're dealing with?
So if you're looking for a bet, I'm just trying to steer clear of the AFC sale because it's so good. I mean, I could make a case for four, maybe five teams to win it. In the NFC, though, you're going to get rewarded if you go down the board. And I'll tell you what, I think one of the biggest hires, and you know this, Sal, covering the league, you know, having two coordinators that know what they're doing is a big deal. And I look to the NFC, and, I looked at Philly last year when Bulldog and Mike and I started talking, and Philly was, 7-8-1 to win the conference. And I looked at Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio and thought, that's a good mix. Well, this year I feel that way about San Francisco. Bringing Robert Saleh back to run the defense to me is a huge deal. And yes, they may have lost some guys in name value, guys like Hufanga that have had stature in the league. But they had a good draft. I think they got younger, they got quicker, and schematically, there are not many teams, guys, in the NFC that have a Kyle Shanahan on offense and a Robert Saleh on defense. I look at that win total 10.5. I think that's an over. The schedule is very, very soft. And also, you can bet them now. San Francisco last year to win the conference was 3-4-1. Now they're 9 or 10 to 1. And I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid there, but I love the price. People are selling them, and I'm kind of buying them.
Yeah, they got to be a real good choice. I don't think you can get action on this, but I know you and Joe at one point earlier this summer talked about, worst to first. That's something that happens pretty regularly in the NFL. Almost every year there's a team that does it. I'm not sure if there was one last year or not, but it happens more often than not by a lot. And the Niners were last place last year. They had an injury, just a lost season. So I'm kind of with you there. I think that they are due for a bounce back, even though they don't have Debo anymore.
Yeah, McCaffrey, you could find Christian McCaffrey, who by all accounts is very healthy. Obviously, health is more than half the battle in this league. But Christian McCaffrey, you can bet 20-1 offensive player of the year. I think that's an insanely disrespectful price.
Sam, I know from talking to you earlier in the day before the Josh Allen tequila drink started happening, you mentioned something about Joe Burrow getting some action on the MVP odds.
Yeah, he's one of the co-favorites. You look at the board for title, and we're talking about the heavy hitters, right? We're talking Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles. The Bengals are way down the board, but then you look at the MVP market, and it's, it's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Jackson. Oh, there's Joe Burrow at 6-1, 7-1. I don't know that their defense is any good, guys. I mean, they're going to have to be the first to 28 a lot of games. But what he did last year, I mean, if they were a better team, if they were better defensively, he's right there for MVP. Yeah, I mean, not to take anything away from Josh. I mean, we talked about on this show betting Josh week one, week two at 9-1, and that came through. Burrow, though, 6-1, I don't know, because they got to win 10 or 11 games, and I have a lot of doubts about that defense. It's very bad, and Pro Football Focus, guys, also had Cincy 31 of 32 on the offensive line. That is not good.
Yeah, you got to have some faith, maybe, if you want to back the Bengals or back Burrow for that award, that it's going to be one of these deals where – the group think is just going to be wrong. Like they'll figure out Hendrickson and that the defense somehow will be better. New coordinator, whatever it is, that they will find a way to, you know, at least cobble something where they can be middle of the pack even. Because I think with that offense, with Chase and Higgins, and of course Burrow pulling the trigger there, I think if that defense is like ranked 20th, they probably are a 12-win team.
Yeah, they could be the number two or three offense in the league, and I wouldn't be surprised. They could also be the 29th best defense in the league, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Before we wrap up, there are a couple things that I wanted to touch on with you. We don't talk a ton of college football on this show, but I know you guys have been digging in somewhat here as we're ramping into August now, August 1st today, and you know, week zero is right around the corner for the college football schedule. What is there to be done right now for someone who wants to get action in on college football? Like, what are you tailing right now?
Well, if anybody listened to us a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Carson Beck to win the Heisman, 37-1 at FanDuel. That number is now about 20, 22. So kudos to you if you followed along with that. Not that that means we're going to win, but that's a good sign. I think in week one, Miami's a really good bet. You know, they were catching three. They're home against Notre Dame. It's a big game. Irish went to the title last year, title game, lost to, of course, Ohio State. But I think Ohio State – kind of expose a lot of the offensive issues there at Notre Dame. And now they turn the car over to a young quarterback in CJ Carr. And I just think Miami's is just so much more equipped to handle adversity early. Miami was catching three at home. Now it's 2.5. I think that's a really good bet. And then my favorite win total, guys, this will make you laugh. I love Toledo this year. Toledo in the MAC, over 8.5. They added a running back from Ohio State and a running back from Virginia Tech in the portal. Usually the MAC gets pillaged. Toledo got better in the offseason. And I love over 8.5.
I love it.
All right,
I have to ask you about my Syracuse Orange. I have to ask my Syracuse Orange. Fran Brown, yeah, I mean, you know, we love what he's doing there, but they have a tough schedule, a lot of ranked opponents. They're starting with Tennessee and Atlanta. But, man, it looks like at least they're finally back to a team that can compete, maybe go to bowl games each year. What are we looking at?
Yeah, they should. I mean, they should win 7 or 8 games. I think that's the expectation there. I will note, though, that their best receiver, I thought last year, was Pena, and now he's at Penn State. Mm-hmm. You know, Penn State added three receivers in the portal. Penn State is favored, guys, in a lot of guys' power ratings. Like, a lot of people are telling me in Vegas that Penn State is the best team in the country. We'll see. They also have James Franklin. We'll see. But you should win 7 or 8, and they should be right there for a bowl game, no doubt.
You know we are doing a show with a guy that hosts a show called Bet Sweats when he's bringing up Toledo. I love Toledo, he's telling us here. Sam, last thing. I texted you about this yesterday. I don't know if you found any info. You said there used to be a site for it. But I was wondering, I like to build up the odds. I'm playing the lottery practically when I'm putting in bets. I don't do it every day or anything, but you know, 4-game, 5-game parlay, and of course the juice is always on in baseball, the team that's -1.5. And I found out that 28% of games in Major League Baseball, I don't know if this is year over year or this year, but 28% of games are one-run games. So that's a ding right there. The reason I ask is because, you know, I might just be really bad at it, but most of these parlays I put in, I don't just – it's not like, oh, if only Oakland would have covered. It's like 4 out of 5 lose. It's just like, you know, it's good, you know, the favored team, and it just does not hit. I'll bet that the books would rather we not know how rarely a team -1.5 in baseball actually covers.
So if only Oakland covered is something we tell our priests, right, at church. Isn't that exactly what we do at church? So I did ask a couple guys about your run line question, and they said, here's what they responded with. The home run line, they said, according to the math, is one of the worst bets in the league because you lay it, you know, run and a half, but you don't get that. You're not guaranteed to get that ninth at bat, Bulldog.
Right.
And a lot of people will take that home team and lay a run and a half, and the math is not in your favor. I was told to tell you, if he's going to do the run line, do it on the road where the team is guaranteed a ninth at bat.
I like this advice a lot. I'm so glad I asked you, and you went to the well, and the well responded. This is a very good day for me. Thank you for that, Sam.
Well, imagine if I was sober, how good the tips would be.
Sam, thank you for fitting us in. We appreciate it as always. Enjoy. Where are you? Are you golfing somewhere? I saw a golf cart, I think, right?
Yeah, we're Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Beautiful. 80 degrees, oh. No clouds.
All right, man. Enjoy it. Cheers. Enjoy the Josh Allen's. Sal, do you know what a Josh Allen is? You've heard of this drink?
No, I have not. I've seen the Josh Jack cereal, right? We have that. Right, but yeah. No, what about this drink? What is this?
So, according to Instagram, and that's a very good source because it came out of his mouth, he does the transfusion, but he does it with tequila. So it's tequila, grape juice, splash of lime, splash of ginger ale. That's a Josh Allen.
Okay.
Good to know.
Kind of reminds me of the Mickey Mantle Breakfast of Champions back in the day. Go look that thing up, and that's the next thing on the menu there.
All right. Sam, thanks a lot,
Sam,
for this.
Sam, great to talk with you, buddy.
Yep.
A lot of fun, boys. Always is. See
ya. All right. Cheers, bud. That's Sam Panionovich, Sammy P on Twitter, and, of course, co-host of Bet Sweats, 9 to noon weekdays on the Bet 1520. You can also find it on the Odyssey app. We will hit up a timeout here. Sal will continue with me for the next hour. We'll talk more about the stadium, maybe about Micah Parsons and or Terry McLaurin as we go here. Lines are open if you want to get in, share any stadium stories. We'd love to hear them here. So we're just like kind of cracking the door open for that. I think this will be a subject that comes up probably pretty frequently once the season gets even closer, and maybe even during the season, depending on how the season is going. So we'd love to hear from you if you've got anything to add about the stadium and how you're feeling as we are here on the day of the first event of, or at least football event anyway, of the final year of Highmark Stadium. Sal Capaccio's there at Highmark Stadium. Mike is away today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to W.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost.
Rules and restrictions apply.
Yes. This is indulgent. It's always, you know, kind of fun at least, if not hilarious. But I'm leaving for a bit after today. I thought, you know, I like doing these when we're all here.
Yep.
We're all here now.
I will probably get around to them again at some point next week. I've got some co-hosts scheduled to appear here. I'll do some solo shows, but there'll be a little hearty dose of Nate Geary and Sal. So we'll find our way. There'll be three of us here at some point. So we'll get to it. But I'm glad to do it again before you walk away.
Well, we'll see how the Chargers look tomorrow night, because you might need to do an emergency one on Friday if it's really good or really bad. I don't know. You might find it even doable that soon. But that'll be your call. Reverse AFC power rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Got the teams?
I sure do.
Should try it sometime without the teams. 16. Doesn't matter. It's like the bare knuckle. You have to.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, no.
Remember everybody. Make sure you don't forget anybody. Although bare knuckle, as easy as it sounds, there is a board, so you can look to see if somebody's been picked. But that gets hard, as you would expect, as you get late in the draft. That was really fun. I did that three times. Never won. I might have finished 6th out of 12 every time. I don't know. Did I not take enough chances? I was just worried about not forgetting anybody.
Right. You don't want to embarrass yourself.
28-round fantasy draft at midnight with no notes or phone or anything and no pen and paper.
At midnight after the Thursday night season opener.
Right. At midnight Eastern.
In Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas. And you can't write down anything. You just have to name guys.
I mean, if any other sporting event has the potential to top 9 beers in 9 innings, it's being in Vegas for the season opener on a Thursday.
Yeah. That buffet could have been better. But yes, it's a nice time.
Yeah.
Of course, when I had that draft, I was always walking around. Bills-Rams. I was the worst possible company for Bills-Rams that night. Because everybody's at Planet Hollywood. Friends of mine that I know that are local, that are not. Everybody's there in a huge room with the big screen. They've got a buffet out and a bar and door prizes. And meanwhile, old Mike Shope is walking around the room all night trying to remember the kickers. Like, I enjoy that kind of thing, but it wasn't. Right. I wasn't, you know, really at the party.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, Eddie Pinheiro. So that was a flashback to that Bills-Rams game, the Thursday night opener. Okay, 16.
Cleveland. They lost a starting corner to an Achilles injury. I mean, come on.
Who was it? Not Ward.
No, not Ward.
Okay. Yeah, I heard about an injury there. All right, fair. Miami lost all its corners to injuries.
They're still not going to be that bad, I don't think. I can't.
All right.
Can't get there.
Cleveland. Okay. You made a good case.
One guy got hurt.
You made a good case.
Whose name I don't know, and I'm pretty sure, though, he was a starter.
It was Frank Minifield. Out for the year. Remember those two?
Do you remember? I so badly want to be able to get his running mate, but I don't think I'm going to get it. But if I talk about how big Frank Minifield's shoulder pads were on Tecmo Super Bowl,
right,
maybe I'll kill enough time for it to pop in to my brain. Who is that other guy? Hanford Dixon.
Correct.
I love this job.
Hanford Dixon.
Oh, I hurt myself celebrating.
Celebrating.
There was a kickback, we've all seen it. There was a leg up and an arm and there was a whole bunch of stuff going on there. Oh, I'm hurt now.
I'm glad I didn't blurt it out.
Hanford Dixon. I don't even care what happens the rest of the segment. You want to talk about Marcus Welby some more?
It could happen. Could come up.
I don't really have anything to say about him. It was just a random doctor that flew into my head, and I did get a tweet or two about him and how he did everything. Heart transplants, brain injuries.
Yeah.
If you had a problem, he knew how to fix it.
Yeah, he didn't specialize in any one area. He was a specialist of it all.
Doc of all trades, so to speak.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I think a very memorable turn as someone cautioning you not to drink coffee at night.
Oh, yeah, Robert Young.
Decaffeinated.
That's right.
Some decaffeinated coffee.
That's right. Well, maybe good advice. 15.
Tennessee.
Don't care. Hanford Dixon.
You're on vacation now. Right. You better get it back by tomorrow. 14.
Okay. Jets.
I guess.
I mean, what's good there?
I know. I guess.
What is good there?
Fields is going to be my most owned quarterback in fantasy. I was glad to hear Evan Silva say he'd also be his. It's not fantasy. This is where Brandon Bean could actually have it make sense when he said, this is not fantasy football.
Right.
Nobody's really thinking of your wide receiver issues as whether they're fantasy football or not. We're not trying to draft somebody. We want you to draft somebody. 13. Dolphins.
Wow. All right, I'm there. They could be like a, you're seeing like in the news, like with an oil rig out in the Gulf of Mexico catches on fire and they just don't know what to do. It's gotta let it burn out. That could be the Dolphins. They could be a burning oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico this year.
The Gulf of America.
I'm going to still call it by its appropriate
by
name.
By its actual name?
By its actual name. I know. I'm a rebel.
You hate America.
Yes. Well, it's never been more obvious.
12. I don't disagree, by the way. One Tua injury, then what?
Right. What number are we on?
12.
I haven't said the Raiders yet?
No. Want to?
I think I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
11.
Colts.
Okay.
It is good to see that since we last did this, or maybe we did, well, we just did this last on Friday, right?
8 days ago.
Okay.
Tuesday of last week.
Okay. I think it's sounding, but you mentioned this, I think, if not on the air, certainly off the air to me. Like, it's reading more like they're ready to give Richardson an opportunity there. And that's good for the overall there. I don't know if it's going to work, but they should at least try that before they completely give up and hand their franchise over to Daniel freaking Jones.
Well, I think I'm excited about that. I want to see Richardson work out if it's possible to root for that. It's possible to root for it if it's realistic. But think of how they got there. So they signed Daniel Jones because they're nowhere on Richardson. They don't know what to do. Then they get near training camp, and he's got a shoulder injury recurrence, and he might not be ready. Then Richardson's like, actually, I'm fine. You know, what is this? Like, I'm actually fine. I'll be there. We get to camp, and he is. And then the Colts get to see Daniel Jones on the field, and they're like, nope. And so now the hype is all Richardson. Like, he might be good. And he's all talking about how he only wants to throw the ball short in practice because he's trying to prove that he can get better at that and do that, mm-hmm. even though his deep ball is unbelievable. I guess check the box, like, just let's work on the other stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I think they're back on Richardson because Jones is that bad.
Yeah. It's like they signed Jones, sort of like how Gettleman walked into the Senior Bowl and saw him and went like, there's my quarterback. Like, they reverted to that. They ignored everything he had done since he's been in the NFL. And like, I mean, he's 6'4 and he can run. That's our guy.
We need somebody.
And they watched him practice and went, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, he was never better than Richardson in practices. We had the guy, Kevin Bowen from Indianapolis, talking about, like, it's not pretty. 10.
I'm having so much fun in here that I don't even know who we've said and haven't
said.
See,
bare knuckle, the clock's ticking.
New England hasn't been said yet, have they?
No.
Okay.
I'll say Pittsburgh.
They got to come in here at some point.
I'll go New England here.
Okay. Pittsburgh's not a good pick there. It looks like it's kind of stabilized. 9.
Yeah, they might be annoyingly good.
Like always. Just good enough.
Right.
To be annoying.
Except not with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
That won't be more annoying, I'm sure. 9, Pittsburgh. You also have Jacksonville if you want them.
I'm gonna say Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I'll revert to my, you know, sort of bullish behavior about Liam Cohen and the Jaguars, although they're probably next.
8.
Jaguars.
Houston.
I heard a speech on Houston that made me think I'm a little too low, or high in this case. Evan was like, best defense in the NFL? Oof.
I mean, the edge guys are good.
Stingley's
amazing.
They've
got a great corner.
Their offensive line terrifies me in the worst way. That is not a good unit, and it got worse.
The Mixon injury sounds bad. The way that's all added up, I think it's right to be pessimistic about him for the season, for the opener. I think it sounds bad. So we're on Nick Chubb and Woody Marks. And Damian Pierce, who's not practicing either. They'd be, if you had a running back getting traded, Houston would be a team you might expect to make the move. But they traded a 4th next year to get to Woody Marks. Like, they've already spent a 4th-round pick on a guy that is in their backfield. And, I don't know, most of my fantasy friends don't like this player at all. He's a pass catcher for a running back. You're waiting for me to pick. I'll say Jacksonville. I think Houston has earned a little better. 7. Aaron Schatz was interesting about the Chargers. I'll go with him. On the day of his appearance, I'll go with the Chargers at 7. It's where they were last week.
I think I want to say Houston.
All right. Obviously, you don't watch the playoffs.
No, I don't watch football.
Nobody saw Houston crush the Chargers in the playoffs because, with that same defense.
Because it's July still. That's why I don't watch football.
6.
What about the UFL?
Sorry. What about the UFL? What's happened with that thing?
I don't even know. Is it still?
I don't even know. I don't know a single thing about it.
Did they have their UFL bowl yet? Did they
play at all?
I don't.
That's Russ. Russ runs the UFL. Did they play at all?
I don't know.
I imagine they did, but
maybe they did.
Maybe,
but there
didn't.
Was a contract thing. There was a labor issue with the UFL before it started. Maybe they didn't play. I don't even know.
Fans don't even pay attention to labor issues in the NFL.
Let alone the UFL.
Russ who, by the way?
Russ Brandon.
Russ Brandon, okay.
Yes. Yeah, we know a lot of people that are in with the UFL.
Yeah.
I have forgotten some of the names, but yeah. 6, Chargers.
Sure, fine. Yep.
5, Bengals.
Yes.
Sure.
Hendrickson reported.
But I think that might be just a hold-in. I mean, he was in street clothes today, standing on the field. He was at his locker after practice talking. But I don't know if he said he's going to suit up tomorrow or something.
A guy like that could win one-on-ones in street clothes.
I think he just showed up and is just like, you know, he's doing what McLaurin is doing,
yep.
Basically. Like, all right, I'm here. I'm tired of getting fined $50,000 a day for this nonsense. I'll come and stand here in a black T-shirt and look tough.
That doesn't seem like that should be allowed.
To get away with not paying the fine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just by being on the field in jeans? I mean, why is that different?
I think, well...
Is he in meetings?
I don't know that it... I would expect yes. I think the hold-in is just, I'm not putting myself at risk of injury.
Okay.
And what I think it does, it's a way around guys pretending their hamstrings are tight.
McLaurin is
right.
Listed.
Yeah, McLaurin is the opposite of that.
Elbow
though.
Or something. They're right. Pretending he has.
Well, like if Trey Hendrickson has passed his physical and is there on time, but doesn't want to work because of the end of the contract, you're like, I don't know. This thing is, my leg, I slept funny. You know, it's just like day over day of that. So I think he's just like, all right, hold in. Got it. You're here. Fine.
It's weird.
Anyway, Bengals.
4. Denver.
Broncos got to be, right?
They're on their own tier, it seems. Unless they should be higher, you know, with the Chargers or the Bengals. But they're not top three material. Not yet.
No.
Three.
Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs. Two. Baltimore.
I was going to say Ravens today.
Isaiah Likely.
I really, really was.
And maybe Zay Flowers.
Maybe Zay Flowers, right.
And Hairston's good.
Right.
I mean,
there it is.
Pretty
everyone.
Good. Bills. Because of Isaiah Likely. The Ravens move up from one to two. And the Bills take the one spot back. Someone little things. Should, it's the little things.
Someone should let their families know. They're going to be so proud.
Bills? Oh, I mean, they would be listening. Don't you think? It's riveting content.
Always.
Today is National Cheesecake Day.
Great.
If you're looking for something to eat later.
Good.
9999 challenge. Nine beers, nine hot dogs, nine pieces of cheesecake, and nine innings. Try that. The Hall of Fame game is tomorrow night. The Lions are favored by a point and a half, and the total is 32.5 against the Chargers in Canton. Brent Musburger will be on the broadcast. He's this year's media honoree at the Hall of Fame. What took him so long?
Good question.
He could have been honored 20 years ago.
Being so prominent in Las Vegas.
Maybe.
I'm not even half kidding.
The league has a team there, but maybe.
No, I know.
For a long time before that.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. So he'll be on the broadcast with Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, Melissa Stark tomorrow night. And so too will all the players, Eric Allen, Jared Allen.
Right.
Guy, Shannon Sharp. There's one more. Guys are going in. They're supposed to be. They always do that. They stop by for a few minutes on the Hall of Fame game. That's tomorrow. Today, we talked to Aaron Schatz about his almanac, which is back out and available. So we'll have that conversation for you next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Sal's kind enough to fit us in today, given the good news on Maxwell Hairston. Yesterday we'd been contemplating the worst, Sal, that maybe this would be a season ender. But much better news than that. Looks like only a few weeks and could be ready by week one.
Yeah, I think good news is in context, right? I mean, because we did see the video and it did appear that it could be much more serious, I think learning that it is an LCL sprain, which is what I was told via a league source, and the ACL is intact, that is good news. I mean, it is still not good news that you're rookie first-round cornerback who bases his game off speed, acceleration, change of direction, is going to be out a few weeks. But look, it could have been a lot worse here. We obviously, we know now, and you know, from what I'm reporting and others have reported, that it looks like, you know, he has a chance at least to be ready for the regular season, but we'll see where it goes. I will say this, just to make note and clarify for everybody. The Bills don't generally give timelines on injuries, and I will report through my league source that there is no definitive timeline on his return at this point. I know that it was speculated by Ian Rappaport that maybe up to about as little as 3 weeks, but that's his report. I will say from anything from what I've heard, there's no confirmation on any timeline to return.
No reason to even offer one, you know?
That's right.
We would have some history with this particular injury of how long it tends to take, but everybody's different reaction to the pain, whatever kind of confidence you have on the knee. What the team wants to do, how slow they want to take it. I mean, it's really not even worth guessing.
Right. And on top of the fact that the Bills just don't do that anyway. The Bills are, right. We've talked about this many times, the Bills are pretty notorious. Sean McDermott does not put timeline on injuries. And the reason is very simple. Like, you don't want to paint yourself into a corner. If you say a guy is going to be back in 3 weeks and it's four, there's a lot of questions. Why? What happened? Medical staff didn't do their job. He didn't rehab right. Things like that. If you say a guy is coming back in 4 weeks and he comes back in two, it's like, what do you mean? You didn't know about the injury and how severe it was? So you just don't do things like that.
If ever I were to call in sick with the flu, I would never call it the 24-hour flu because then they know I'm back tomorrow. Like I'm
right.
I better be here the next day. What if I don't feel good the next day?
I don't know how
many hour flu this is. who am I? Marcus Welby?
Oh my God! Sal, this show needs to be pulled over.
Give me a new doctor.
Or maybe
who's
taken
a new
out back and shot. What did Marcus Welby?
Give me a new doctor.
Oh my God!
Later. Give me a new one. Later, we'll update that. We'll take that out in post.
Will McDermott talk tomorrow before practice, Sal? Is that scheduled?
No, he is not scheduled. He's not scheduled to, but we could hear from him. He may.
Because of this news.
I don't know. Or we could get something from Sean. A lot of times what happens in these situations is you might get something more official from the Bills. You know what I mean? But so we'll see about that. And when it does happen, when he does talk, and I you know why, guys? He's actually talking before the open practice.
Oh, Friday's the practice. So, right.
Yeah. So I would think it, you know, we always – what do we hear? These are just terms Sean McDermott uses, right? Week to week is a term he uses.
Mm-hmm.
Going to miss some time, you know, things like that. Like, those are the things that he says a lot when we know there's no definitive timeline, but a guy's going to be out a little while.
What has been your assessment prior to the injury of how Hairston was doing? I mean, I know Tre'Davious White has been getting more of the run with the ones, but Hairston's gotten some. Like, to your eyes and just from talking to coaches and players around camp and other media, like, what do you think he is struggling with and what do you think he was maybe excelling at, Hairston I'm talking about?
So, I don't think he's been better than White. I think White's been very good. But that's why. I think Tre'Davious White's just been really good. I thought he was the best player on the field, as we talked about yesterday, which is really nice to see. Where I like where Max Hairston has made a lot of growth since OTAs and minicamp is his ability to know where to be, to line up correctly, to understand concepts. And I only get that from, and I can get that just garnering from being down there on the field, watching practice, listening to people talk to him, where are you supposed to be, telling him where to line up. Hey, that's your spot. Move forward, move left. I don't see a lot of that happening out of training camp, you know, and it's good. He is always over, and it's really cool to see two things with him. After almost every rep, he talks to Jamil Adai, his corners coach. They just kind of talk about things. They go over things, which is really great. And honestly, you know, whenever Tre'Davious White gets subbed out, for him, they look at each other, they pass each other, they do like a fist bump, a high five. They say something to each other. It's like, you know, he knows that Tre'Davious is there to help him, and I think Tre'Davious wants him to know that he's there to help him. Where I think that he still can get better is just in the physical playing the ball right now and where to be when the ball arrives. I think pre-snap has gotten a lot better since OTAs and minicamp. He has made a few plays. He's also been beaten a few times where I think, you know, if he is a little bit closer to the receiver there, if he's running a little bit more, stride for stride with him. But look, it's not like it's happening every day where he's getting beat. That happened against Keon Coleman the other day when Coleman made a great adjustment and Max just kind of flew by him a little bit instead of understanding the concept of where the ball is going to come down. But he also made an incredible play the first day of practice when KJ Hamler was basically right in the end zone awaiting a ball. Nobody was within him. And all of a sudden, Max Hairston understood, I need to be right there, right now, and he got there.
Well, Trey White, I mean, all the more reason with these latest developments with Hairston to think he'll be in the starting lineup week one against Baltimore. It's kind of incredible. Like a year ago, this would not have sounded to me like anything I'd ever want to do with as much admiration for him as many of us have had. But that'll be one we talk about leading up to the Ravens. He played for the Ravens in their last game here, and so they know who they're dealing with in Trey White and vice versa.
He did, and you're right about that. You know, and the Ravens at this point look like they could be without Isaiah Likely. Obviously, that's a pretty significant blow for their passing game. It's not built on the wide receivers, right? Their passing game is good enough. Rashad Bateman's pretty good, and Zay Flowers mostly in the slot. But this is not a wide receiver, outside boundary wide receiver eccentric offense, right? So maybe something there is a great way to kind of just see where to get Tre'Davious White, his feet back under him in a regular season game. He's going to have some time in preseason before that. You know, you're not throwing him right out there against the top receivers in the league and top guy in the league and saying, go cover him. You know, Christian Benford's going to be your cornerback one in that scenario. But I agree with you, Mike. I mean, you go back a year ago and, you know, after he was released by the Bills and Tre'Davious White, you know, goes on, he signs at the Rams and always felt kind of, oh man, I can't believe it. And, you know, this guy had such a promising career. He was so good and these injuries derailed him. And now here we are, and he's back in the fold with the Bills. And not only back, but, I mean, I think he's energetic. I think he really is confident right now, and I like the way he's been playing.
And by the way, Zay Flowers left Baltimore's practice yesterday with an apparent leg thing and was not on the field for practice today. That's the latest I have on that, which isn't much, but there could be something there too.
Yeah, so remember he missed last year's playoff game, right? Did he didn't play against the Bills last year.
Right. Yeah, right. Flowers.
Oh, yeah?
He got twisted. What was he? Got twisted in the Pittsburgh game on the sideline or something and maybe missed that game. I forgot about that.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for fitting us in here, Sal.
You got it, guys. Have a great one.
All right. There you go. That is Sal Capaccio on what was supposed to be his day off. But, you know, we had Max Harrison news. Good news, relatively speaking. You know, better news than we thought 24 hours ago anyway. Training camp coverage continues to be brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
I had forgotten that about Flowers. That game, Andrews 5 for 61 in the fumble, Likely 4 for 73 in a touchdown, Bateman 4 for 66 in the touchdown. That opened the scoring. Anthony Miller had one. Tylan Wallace, yeah, it's a big loss. I think of Flowers, and I think of the fumble in the playoffs against Kansas City.
Right.
At the one-yard line the year before, which was weird because the Chiefs fumbled on the one-yard line here.
Right.
The week before.
That's right.
And the Bills recovered that, and the Chiefs recovered the one in Baltimore. Game changers. Well, it wasn't the second example, at least, because the Bills lost anyway. 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
It's Mike Schopen.
Hey. Put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey. Put a little bit more in there, Cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I thought almost you weren't going to make it back for this. It was, you cut it close.
I wouldn't miss it.
I know you wouldn't miss it, but if you cut it close.
There was a person working in the office. So I stopped. Wow. There was a singular person working where there used to be 40 people working.
Has the show ever sounded
there
older?
There was someone working, so I stopped to chat.
Bulldog stopping to chat during a break and almost missing the beginning of Jim Lampley. Well, this is a tremendous thrill and honor. Jim Lampley with us now, simply one of the best and most accomplished sports announcers ever. Career span decades. He's covered about as many sports as you can probably name. Jim, Mike, and Chris here. We are so thrilled to have you.
Thank you very much, Mike and Chris. Pleasure to be with you. And thanks for that laudatory intro.
I'm very trying to be just as good as I can be with the words with you. I've been watching clips, you with Rich Eisen a while ago, and just different interviews you've done. And I always did admire your work, but I've come to even on a higher level appreciate how studious you are about what you're saying. And I also want, while I'm here just praising you, I want to say too, I think a lot of announcers miss it when it comes to just simply the volume. But I always thought with you, like you must have cared about it, that you never wanted to like sort of be screaming at us or, you know, even in a like a excited way. So anyway, I'm a fan.
I think it's possible to express excitement and admiration for what you are watching without having to scream and yell. I've always put my efforts into finding the right words to describe what I'm seeing and to be respectful of the audience's right and privilege of responding to it emotionally in their own way. So at the most emotional moments and the most high-impact moments I've ever covered, I tried to be understated. The best example being Mike Tyson has been knocked out in Tokyo February 10, 1990, when Buster Douglas produced what everybody thought was an absolutely unintelligible miracle. So I bank on my ability to describe via words and phrases that are intelligent, thoughtful, and understated enough to leave room for the audience to develop its own emotional response.
So when you found out two radio guys from Buffalo, New York wanted to talk to you, what was your first thought? Like, what did you think of when you were presented with Buffalo?
How cold I was when I did the hosting segments for NFL Live one day there in your stadium for a what I believe was a December regular season game. It might have been a late November regular season game. And it was an experience to wear something in the way of a an acceptable on-camera outfit and not outfit myself in a bear belt or something to manage that particular cold experience. So that and just, you know, the long, glorious history of the Buffalo Bills and the fact that an old friend of mine, Robert McAdoo from the University of North Carolina, I believe played in Buffalo with the Buffalo Braves for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah, for a little while. People here, Jim, are fond of saying, for a moment in time, we had the three best players in three North American team sports, O.J., McAdoo, and Gilbert Perreault on the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, you know that O.J. was a dear friend of mine. You probably know, you know, about my long history with him. And obviously that's been a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. If you're close to him emotionally, as I was, then you ultimately had to accommodate some extremely difficult truths. And I managed to do that, but it wasn't easy.
If I remember correctly, yourself or others from NBC, so 1993, I'm thinking here, when the Bills are en route to their fourth straight AFC title, you guys might have been set up, Mike Ditka, and maybe the fans were hot. Joe Gibbs, maybe the fans were hostile, like in the end zone or something. Does that ring a bell?
If you're talking about the Super Bowl in Pasadena.
Okay.
I don't have any memory of anything like that.
Okay.
I had good experiences hosting the Super Bowl. The Pasadena game, I was on the field, so I was kind of accessible to fans. And the following year was Atlanta. The game in Atlanta was the backdrop for one of my most interesting experiences with OJ, because we got marooned in Atlanta. Everybody else, Inberg, Trumpy, the rest of the telecast crew, were able to leave and go back to the West Coast. OJ and I didn't have access to a plane for that. So we wound up going back to the Ritz-Carlton and Buckhead together and hooked up with some people from Kevin Costner's movie crew. He was shooting The Postman at that time. For some reason, there were scenes being shot in Atlanta. And OJ and I spent a few hours riding around that night looking for a place to dance in a southern city that was still part of the Bible Belt, even in 1994. And ultimately, we went back to the hotel, and that was the last time I was with him prior to the next kaleidoscopic event in his life.
So no dancing, as it turns out. You were unsuccessful, even the night of the Super Bowl.
There was no place available to dance late on Sunday night in Atlanta.
Unfortunate.
Well,
I warned him that would be the case.
Yeah.
I didn't know for sure.
Well, I don't know how familiar you are with what happened with the Bills and to the fan base in the years in between. There were a couple of, like, you know, death rattle years there where they were still a playoff team but no longer a Super Bowl caliber team. And then there was a playoff drought, Jim, but they're back now. And I wonder if that trips any wires for you to have the Bills back in, like, the American consciousness in the way that they are now, like they were when you were working with NBC.
Josh Allen is one of the most exciting and heart-stopping players in the NFL. I think that his presence alone is enough to bring the franchise back to front-page status and make the Bills relevant in Super Bowl talk again. And I think they will be every year that Josh Allen stays on the roster and plays. He's an amazing player, extremely resourceful, appears to be – I haven't met him, but he appears to be a really high-quality leader and team motivator, et cetera. And, you know, I think that it's fun now to watch the Bills because you know that with Josh Allen, they can beat anybody.
With Jim Lampley, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. Jim, you also would have been in Buffalo for Joe Macy one HBO night. I know you and Emmanuel Stewart were here talking about him, his fight with Daryl Williamson. Always been amused by the nickname Touch of Sleep. That's one of the great nicknames. Do you remember the ride with Macy? Buffalo got very into him, and it seemed for a minute like he was a serious, you know, candidate to win big. Then he had an eye injury, right, Bulldog? And wasn't it?
Or brain injury.
Brain injury, yeah. And his career was slowed by that. But do you have memories of him or your visit here to cover him?
Well, going back to my days of watching Gillette Friday Night Fights in the 50s as a kid when I was locked in every Friday night and watching, I was well aware that upstate New York has a long and glorious history in the sport of boxing. And now, of course, I go almost every year to the International Boxing Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Canastota, where you worship at the altar of Carmen Basilio and some of the other meaningful fighters who came from upstate New York. So when I was covering Macy, I was very conscious of putting him in the context of the whole upstate New York boxing history and the presence of the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. As it turned out, his moment near or at the top of the heavyweight division, I would say near the top of the heavyweight division, his moment was relatively brief. And I think he was good, but I'm not sure that he had the skills to compete at the highest level. I don't remember what Emmanuel said about him when we were there, but whatever it was, it had to be highly credible because, as you may know, probably know, Emmanuel Stewart's record in heavyweight championship fights was 34-2-1. Nobody else in history can match what Emmanuel did in the heavyweight division. And he isn't remembered nearly as much for that as he is for a welterweight who turned middleweight, Tommy Hearns.
Okay. You know, in terms of those broadcasts, of those many years, I mean, you became the voice of boxing, really, with Stewart, with George Foreman, Larry Merchant. I will tell you, I certainly wasn't knowledgeable about, you know, the different divisions and the rankings and everything, but a great broadcast is a great broadcast. And in a period of those years, I wouldn't miss those Saturday nights. I just thought you guys were the perfect sort of chemistry and balance, and it was funny too. Like all you Merchant, hilarious, Foreman, of course, the late George Foreman. So I think those broadcasts stand out as among the best in sports broadcasting history.
Very complimentary, and I appreciate it. We had great expert commentators. At the beginning, it was Ray Leonard, and then eventually Ray Leonard was followed by George Foreman, and then George Foreman was ultimately followed by Emmanuel Stewart, and then Roy Jones, and every one of them, slightly different from the predecessor, but brought something meaningful. There's a television writer, don't know if he's still there, at the New York Daily News named Bob Raceman, wrote a sports television column in the New York Daily News, very prominent in the 90s and onward. And there was a moment in time when Raceman wrote in the Daily News that Lampley, Merchant, Foreman was the greatest three-man team in the history of sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
Now think about that.
Yeah.
Gifford Meredith and Cosell, they got a great deal more public response and publicity, et cetera. So for Raceman in the New York Daily News to say that we were the greatest three-man team in the history of sports broadcasting was quite a distinctive observation. And I always love to be complimented. Anybody who says they don't is lying. and I love the fact that you feel as though you may have gathered some boxing information and awareness from me, because that was what I was all about, was trying to explain the sport and set up the drama and stories that people like Larry and George and Roy and Emmanuel could then elaborate further on.
I'd have to cop to agreeing that everybody likes to be complimented. How do you think this is going so far, by the way?
Oh, you guys are great. With clearly the greatest interviewers ever.
Oh, you're too nice. You're too. Jim, do you share that view? I mean, not to say that you were part of the greatest crew ever, but is that what stands out to you the most? I mean, you've had an amazing and varied career. Is that boxing crew with Larry Merchant and George Foreman that was referenced that way in the Daily News what you feel is like the best thing you ever did?
Well, I went to 14 Olympics more than any other American sports television broadcaster, according to what I am told. I don't count and keep the records, but, you know, I did have the privilege of going to 14 Olympics, and I did some very memorable things there. It's pretty hard. Going back to Western New York State, it's pretty hard to find any moment that exceeds being a part of the Miracle on Ice. And obviously, Al Michaels called the game, and Al Michaels created the imprint with that "Do You Believe in Miracles" line, which was brilliant. And Al is, in my view, the greatest conventional sports play-by-play man ever. But I was the one who got to Mike Ruzioni and Jim Craig after the game and did a memorable interview with them on Main Street of Lake Placid as we were going off the air that night. And in order to get that interview, I had to leave other work behind in the broadcast center and go join the game at the beginning of the second period and stand on a camera platform where I wasn't supposed to be. So that's just such a delicious memory. And so, you know, totally enclosed in its own envelope because nothing else could ever match it before or since in terms of the improbability of what went on. There was no way, no possible logical way that team of college players and semi-pros and ragamuffins could beat the Soviet machine, which had won every international hockey competition for the preceding 10 years. But they did. And it's part of the title of my book. It happened. You can't really conjure how or why it happened, but it happened.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to visit Lake Placid since then? Because I've been many times.
I went back to Lake Placid one time after those Olympics, and that was the following year when I went on a private plane with Herb Brooks to go into the arena and stand there and do a recap interview, a discussion about the Miracle on Ice one calendar year later. And I'll never forget it because there was nobody in the plane but a two-man crew and Brooks and me. And on the flight back to New York City from Lake Placid, we wound up in a massive storm. The plane was being tossed around in the air. And Brooks and I were literally speculating on which paragraph I would be in when the story on the front page of the New York Times the following day detailed the death of Herb Brooks in a private plane crash. I was figuring I maybe get paragraph 6 or something like that.
Herb Brooks. Well, I'll tell you, just quickly, I've been there many times with my family. It's, you know, about 5 hours from here. And the thing that always stands out to me is it. I don't know if this would have been noticeable just a year after the Olympics. What the Olympics have become, it's incredible to walk down Main Street and just imagine that the Olympics took place in that town. It's incredible.
It was the most, look, you know, if it had not happened in 1932, if you did not have that piece of history, if it weren't for the fact that there was at that moment no other major ski resort in America that had a ski jump, and Lake Placid still had the ski jumps, et cetera. But it should not have happened. It was an unmanageable environment. The local organizing committee was inept. In a lot of ways, those Olympics were a disaster, but the Miracle on Ice redeemed them, completely redeemed them, and painted them in a positive light, which will last forever.
Yeah, now it's more trivia to think of other Winter Olympic cities.
Well, nobody remembers, you know, hundreds of people standing in remote parking lots in freezing and sub-freezing weather waiting for buses that didn't show up, or getting onto the buses with tickets that weren't really the right tickets to get them in. There were so many things that went wrong with the local organizing committee. It was a disaster. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday night and Sunday night of the second weekend, you got the Miracle on Ice, and then they beat Finland to win the gold medal. one of the most unexpected gold medals ever for the United States Olympic team.
On the Sunday afternoon. We've talked to Al Michaels a few times. He's been gracious enough to join us, and I have loved asking him about that. And Ken Dryden, he and Dryden do the game, and I just love Dryden's maybe his first line in the setup to the game, where it's one thing to be young and promising, but it's quite another to be good. And I just think that that was so profound.
Ken Dryden was a brilliant guy who, you know, it was only a total sideline for him to do expert commentary, but he was a brilliant guy with a brilliant law career.
Yeah.
He and Michaels made a fantastic team for calling the game. And I got 5 or 6 minutes of involvement, which had lasted for a long, long time.
Yeah, Dryden, not exactly conventional. He's standing there with his arms folded and a turtleneck. They both were wearing these light blue turtlenecks to the open of that game. Well, Jim, admittedly, this came together pretty quickly. I'm not all the way through your memoir. It happened. I love the story of your childhood and your mother. I'm a father in a multiracial home, and I just think like the message you convey about her and what she meant to you and the lessons she taught you are just super, like, amazing, considering the environment you were in. And I just wanted to make sure that was mentioned in our conversation, because I thought that was really special.
My mother was a cosmic woman, a poor Irish girl from Memphis who somehow got it in her head that the most important things to teach to her two sons were anti-racism and resistance to discrimination against other people. She was the fulcrum of my sports television career, because one thing I often say is that I started in 1974 at ABC Sports. I lasted until 2018 on HBO. I don't see how anybody could have constructed and maintained a career as a national television sportscaster in that period of time if he were a racist. It couldn't happen. You had to be anti-racist to get it in the sports environment of the 70s, 80s, 90s, teens, and 20s in the United States. So she gave me a gift that helped to sustain my career all the way through.
Very good. Jim, this has been a great thrill. I don't mean this to sound like obnoxious. I hope it doesn't come across that way. Do you have any questions for us?
How cold is it in Buffalo today?
90.
Oh,
90.
I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which sounds like kind of a cool place, but it's 98 degrees with 91% humidity. It's insufferable. And it's getting a little worse every year, but that's another discussion.
Well, thank you to Fred and Abe, who helped bring this together, and my guy Kyle, who I just met randomly 10 days ago. And he's like, I know a guy. Just we struck up a conversation.
Knows a guy, right?
And I'm really glad this happened. So very much appreciate your time. And
would you enjoy the rest of the book?
Yes.
I think that there are some things toward the end that are you really going to like. And, I tried to make as much of the book as possible, other than that part, which is about my mother and my grandmother. I tried to make as much of it as possible about the evolution of sports television, the changes I saw, and the changes of which I was a part, like ultra-endurance sports. So I hope you enjoy the rest, and thank you very, very much for the opportunity to talk about It Happened and to talk about my lucky life.
I'm especially excited for the Cosell and Me chapter, by the way, which is coming up. Always interested in him.
Well, I had the privilege of very close contact with him for a while.
Yeah.
So have fun.
Well, one last thing. We were both delighted to learn you were the first host on WFAN.
Oh, yeah.
Sports radio launch. I learned that today. I did not know that. That radio station is how I got into this, and I'm 30 years in, so good job.
July 2, 1987, I put WFAN on the air. I was the first talk show host. There was a news insert prior to me coming on the air, and then I came on the air. And on that first day, I recited a manifesto I had written the night before, a kind of a forecast as to what would happen as the result of this new medium. And I remember some of the things that I said, like, Rory from Queens or Brooklyn will make trades for the Nets, and franchises will move to other cities because of the feedback they get from talk radio, et cetera. And at the end of the day, it all happened. Everything I said would happen. Oh, there will be three of these stations in Salt Lake City doing all jazz all day, 24 hours of jazz. That happened. So it was a stunning piece of experience in my life to make up this whimsical idea of what could happen because of sports talk radio and then watch it happen.
Utah Jazz. There might not be a single jazz music station in Salt Lake, but, right? I mean, that was your prediction.
No jazz music station. Just jazz talk all the time, 24 hours. By the way, that happens in every market. Yep. There was a moment when there were three sports talk radio stations in Los Angeles, and they were all Kobe all the time, 24 hours a day of Kobe talk.
Yeah, no, we can relate. So very good. Thanks again, Jim. It happened. Is there a best way for you for people to get the book?
The
your website.
The statistic I heard last week from the publisher was that it was at least for a minute or two the number one selling audiobook in the country.
All right.
I am the voice of the audiobook, but if you go to Amazon or Kindle, it's not hard to find. It happened, and it's available in three different iterations, and have fun. It's a fun book.
I'm sure. Thanks again, Jim. What a pleasure.
My privilege. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Jim Lampley. It happened is his call when Foreman beats Michael Moorer.
Right, the comeback, right?
Win the heavyweight title at 46 or whatever he was. Also, it's like right on point. All right, super cool. Thank you to everybody who helped bring us Jim Lampley. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. We'll be back after sports. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.